In Jesus' mighty name we worship. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. My Redeemer, you are worthy to be praised.
You are worthy.
King of kings and Lord of lords, Ancient of days, the father of the fatherless, the husband of the widow, the King of glory, the Lord of hosts, the one who has never lost a war, we bless your holy name. Accept our worship in Jesus' name. Thank you for all you've done for us thus far. Thank you for the mighty testimonies. Thank you for greater ones yet to come. Accept our worship in Jesus' name. In the lives of all your children, all your children, let this night be a turning point. For those who are here, for those who are watching by television, for those who are watching on the internet, for those who are listening by radio, let this night be a turning point. At the end of it all, just take all the glory and give all the blessings. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Hey, someone shout hallelujah. Well, shake hands with one or two people and tell them, tonight is my night, you know. And then you may please be seated. Brothers and sisters, in every man's life, there is always a day that is never forgotten. I believe that there is someone here tonight, this is the day for you. I've been asked to speak to us tonight on living above the natural. My text will be taken from Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The moment I became born again, there's something within me that said to the Almighty God, please engineer us far to my right. They are clapping for you. I'm sure you know what that means. Far to my right, that will be far to your left. Moment I became born again, there was a hunger in me. And please tonight, if I talk a little bit about myself, it's not to present myself as anyone extraordinary. It is to let you know that if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Do I hear amen? I'll be using myself as an example so that you'll be able to go to God and tell him, I know you are no respecter of persons. So whatever you've done for one, you can do for another. I'm believing God for someone here tonight. Before the sun rises, you will sing a new song. The hunger within me is that I do not want to be an ordinary Christian. I just didn't want to be. I had gone far in the world academically. Like I told you yesterday. Only to realize that I knew nothing about God. So when I became born again, the pendulum swung back to the other extreme. I wanted all I could get of God. You see, it would be wrong for the fish not to want to swim. To be a strange fish that will not want to swim. It would be wrong of a bird not to want to fly. And so the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 3 to 6, John 3, verse 3 to 6, that when you are born again, you are born of the Spirit, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. I felt that it would be very wrong for someone born of the Spirit to live within the natural laws. My hunger for God, for the things of God, for the power of God, for the enablement that God can give, was heightened when I read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, for the first time. Like I told you yesterday, I didn't even know there was anything called Corinthians, whether first or second, until those market women in Sunday school class showed me that I might think I am wise, but spiritually I was stupid. Then I decided I will study the Bible. And then I came across 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, where it is written, covet earnestly the best gifts. That the Almighty God, who said you should not be covetous, says there is an exception to that rule. When it comes to the gifts of God, be as covetous as you can be. So that's wonderful. And then I read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians 3, verse 20. That says God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all I ask or think. I said, good. And I made up my mind. Number one, I want to be hearing God. I want to be hearing God because the Bible says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, Revelation 2, verse 7, that he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. That tells me it is possible to hear from God. And I remember very well when I read Revelation chapter 1, from verse 9 to 10, Revelation 1, 9 to 10, that John said, when he was in the Spirit on the last day, he heard certain things. And my hunger to hear from God came as a result of an experience. I've just been born again, and a friend took me to a fellowship of Christians at the University of Lagos, where I was a lecturer. And we were singing. Most of the songs I didn't know, because I was a new Christian. I was just hearing them singing choruses. Well, thank God we could make joyful noises. But after a lot of singing and worship, suddenly there was a hush. As if an unseen power told everybody to be quiet. And somebody began to prophesy. Thus saith the Lord. And he went on. And I nudged the man who took me there. I said, when did the Lord say that? He said, shh. I said, I can't hear anything. He said, quiet. God is speaking. God is speaking. And only one man is hearing. I wasn't hearing anything. That day I made up my mind. I too will hear from God. And I'm praying for someone here tonight. I'm praying for someone here tonight. Before the sun rises tomorrow, you'll be hearing from God. You see, because how can I be a child of God and can't hear his voice? False prophets are deceiving the world, and they are deceiving people who can't hear for themselves, because they can't hear for themselves. I mean, I have some witnesses here. Some years ago, we went to America for a convention. And while the program was on, somebody got up and began to prophesy. I told those who went with me, I said, don't mind him. That's not God talking. Why? Because I can hear myself. Because the one who can hear from God cannot be deceived by any false prophet. When somebody gets up and he says, thus saith the Lord, long before he finished, God will say, I didn't tell him that. Don't mind him. I pray one more time. For someone, not everybody, for someone here tonight, before the sun rises tomorrow, you begin to hear from God. Don't forget, I'm speaking on living above the natural. Now, it wasn't long after that I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And one beautiful afternoon, I was driving from the University of Lagos, coming to my house in Surulere. And those of you who know a bit of Lagos, I got to that street called Abamakoli. At that time, it was a two-way. You can either go right or go left. There was no dividing median. And I was about to turn right to pass through the front of what used to be Fela Nikulapo's shrine, and then come to the stadium and branch to the right, which was the shortest route to my house. And suddenly I heard a voice. It was the first time I heard this voice. And he said, turn left. Turn left. Go to Ibujemeta. Get to Oyinbo. Turn right. Go through Surulere from what used to be youth service center, and then turn right to your house. And I said, what kind of Israelite journey is that? So I didn't turn left. I turned right. And when I turned right, the road was clear. So I was saying, pass through Fela's shrine. I was already looking at the National Stadium when I saw a little hold up, very little. And I stopped. And almost as soon as I stopped and I looked behind me, several vehicles piled up. I was there for almost 6 hours. Because unknown to us, a trailer had fallen across the road. And more vehicles kept piling up. Hours later, when all the vehicles discovered there's no going forward, they began to turn back one by one. Finally, it was my turn to turn back. And when I turned back, the only way where there was opening was to drive back the way I came, go all the way back to Herbert Macaulay Street, go all the way to Oyibo, go all the way, the original route marked out for me, took me back home after almost 7 hours. It's an experience I will never forget. It's also an experience that introduced me to the voice of God. In the name that is above every other name, you will begin to hear from God tonight. Number two, I said I want to be able to see the invisible. I want to be able to see visions. Because, I mean, in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 to 17, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 to 17, the Bible tells us of Elisha sitting down in his living room, in his rocking chair. And his servant went out and saw that they have been surrounded by the enemy. And the boy ran home and said, "My master, what are we going to do? We are done for." And Elisha said, "Don't worry, my boy. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And the boy said, "I can't see anybody, only you and I." And the Bible said, Elisha prayed, "God, open the eyes of this young man that he may see." He wasn't physically blind, but he was spiritually blind. And God opened his eyes, and he saw horses and chariots of fire. So there's other eyes that can be opened. I said to God, "You have to open my eyes. I want my eyes opened. I want to see what is in the spiritual world." And of course, I mean, in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 20 to 27, you know the story, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 20 to 27, the Bible tells us of when Gehazi ran after Naaman to go and collect money from him, the money that Elisha had refused. And when he came back, and Elisha asked him, "Where have you been?" He said, "I've not been anywhere." The man of God said, "My eyes followed you. I saw everything that happened when the general turned in his chariot to receive you. I saw him giving you money. I saw him giving you clothes. I saw everything." I said, "Is that so?" I too want to see. And it wasn't long after that I began to see. The first thing I saw, we were going to a workers' meeting. I've just joined the workers there. And I went to the toilet to ease myself. As I sat on the toilet seat, suddenly the door of the toilet became like a screen. And I saw on the screen the headquarters church service was going on. Everything was normal. And then at a stage, the door of the vestry opened, and the man who was going to preach and the man who was going to interpret came out of the vestry where they had been praying, evidently, and they went to the altar, conducted the service, and there was a mighty outpouring of the power of God, and the vision disappeared. And then I realized I was in the toilet. I've seen something. Soon as I got to the church, I went to my father in the Lord, excited. Daddy, I saw something today. I told him what I saw. And the old man put his two hands on his head and said, "Oh God." I was afraid. What's the trouble now? Then he called the pastors then, about two or three of them. "Come, come, come." They all came. He told me to repeat what I said I saw. I repeated it. And the old man said, "Son, at the beginning of this church, that's what we used to do. Whoever is going to preach, whoever is going to interpret, will be in the vestry praying until it is time for them to come and preach. But we stopped years ago. God had shown me something that was missing in the church. Something they were doing ever before I became born again that they had stopped. God brought it back. I pray that in this convention of the Holy Spirit, revelations from heaven will become commonplace in your life. And then, in that 2 Kings chapter 6, from verse 8 to 12, 2 Kings 6 from verse 8 to 12. I read the story that led to the soldiers surrounding Elisha. That the king of Syria was plotting against the king of Israel. And Elisha was warning the king of Israel, "Don't go in that direction, don't go in that direction." Until the king of Syria was troubled. And they called a meeting and said, "Who is this spy in my government? Who? Tell me." And one of his servants said, No, "It's none of us. It is Elisha, the prophet. Everything that is happening in your bedroom, he knows it." Oh. So it is possible to know the unknown. It's possible to know what is hidden. I cried to God. Remember, I told you at the beginning, I just said, I don't want to be an ordinary Christian. I don't want to be one who is just going to church. I want to be above the ordinary. It was my own desire. I said, "Daddy, I want to be able to know what can only be known by your spirit." And then I read Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. Acts 5, verse 1 to 11. Forgive me, I don't have as much time as I would have loved to explain some of these things to you, why I want to see And why I want to know. But in Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 11, Ananias and Sapphira sold a property. They brought half of the money to the church and told Peter, this is all the money. And Peter said, no, that's not true. You have kept part of the money. How did they know? Won't it be beautiful if some people are plotting against you, and while they are yet meeting, you already know? Would that not be beautiful? If the enemy is planning to kidnap you or to waylay you, and you already know that they are expecting you to come from the left, so you go by the right. I said, Lord, I want to begin to know. I too want to begin to know whatever you've done for all these people before. You must do it for me. And then, by his grace, I began to know. And let me just give you one little example. I won't give you big ones. When you begin to know, you will know the big ones yourself. There were two of my daughters, very good friends. I like both of them because their commitment to Christ was solid. And so one day, the two of them came to me. I think we had a program and we met. Ah, Daddy, you are welcome. And then I said to them, I hope you are not quarreling. Ah, Daddy, you know we won't quarrel. We are good friends. I said, but you are quarreling. No, we are not. I said, you are quarreling over food. Because they were living together. And one said, yes. Each time I cook, she would say, I didn't cook well. The other one said, yes. Each time she cooks, she will burn half of the food. I said, but you told me you are not quarreling. He said, how did you know? Because God showed me. He showed me what was happening. And said, you better correct your daughters. That's a small one, very minor. I can tell you a bigger one. I mean, I was just minding my own business, if you want to use that word. When God spoke to me and said, son, your friend is in London. Unless you reach him before Monday, he will die. So of course I got on the plane. By the time I knocked at his door, he couldn't believe. And he was dying. Thank God it's more than 20 years now and he's still alive today. The ability to know what is not ordinarily known before this convention is over shall be available to you in Jesus' name. Then I read Acts of the Apostles chapter 19. Verse 11 to 12. Acts 19, verse 11 to 12. He said, God performed special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from his body, handkerchiefs and aprons were taken to the sick. Sickness left them. Demons departed from them. I said, handkerchiefs of a man. I said, God, there is a little similarity between me and Paul. He was an academician. Me too, I I went to the university for some time. I want handkerchiefs that I touch to perform miracles. I want to do exploits for you. And then I read Acts chapter 5, verse 14 to 16. I believe I'm talking to those who are hungry for the supernatural. Is anybody being blessed at all? because I want to be sure I'm not wasting my time. Because some people are not interested in these things. I read Acts chapter 5 from verse 14 to 16. Acts 5, 14 to 16. And Bible said that the shadow of Peter was healing the sick. I said to God, you have to do all these things through me too. My handkerchiefs must heal the sick. My shadow must heal the sick. Demons must see my handkerchiefs coming and run. Well, things began to happen. See, when you call on him, he will answer you. He will answer somebody here tonight. Maybe I just tell you one or two examples. The Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship International held a convention in Port Harcourt. They invited me to come and speak on the new anointing. And I spoke, gave some examples of what God had in his infinite mercy done through me. And then it was time to go, and the crowd began to surge forward. Somehow, they smuggled me into my car. And there was a woman who said, no problem, if I can't touch him, I will touch the car. And she took an handkerchief and rubbed it on the car as we were escaping. She left the convention. By the time she got home, her sister was totally mad. One little girl. So mad that it took six men to hold her down. When she arrived, they said, thank God you have come. We don't know what to do next. He said, no problem. I have the solution in my hand. She took the handkerchief that she rubbed on the car, laid it on the girl, and all of a sudden the girl said, whoo, and became normal again. Absolutely normal again. Well, that one, you will say, we were not there. What about the one that you had the testimony from here? One day God told me to sit on some chairs and ask those who are trusting God for the fruit of the womb to sit on any of the chairs. And there was the husband and wife. The husband sat on one chair and said, God, I receive a boy. The wife sat on another chair and said, God, I receive a girl. 9 months later, they gave birth to a set of twins, one boy, one girl. And many of you have shared testimonies of what had happened when we stood here and you lifted your handkerchiefs and we waved our hands and you went home with the anointed cloth and you know the result that had happened. I told God, I want to do exploits for you. Then, as I studied the Bible, and I read 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8 to 16, 1 Kings 17, verse 8 to 16, about how Elijah said to the widow of Zarephath, give me food. And the flour will just keep on multiplying. The oil will keep on flowing. And it happened.
said, that's miraculous provision. And then I read 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. 2 Kings 4, verse 1 to 7. In the case of the widow of one of the sons of the prophets, that was so poor that they wanted to sell her sons into slavery. And the man of God told her to go and borrow empty vessels and to take the bottle of oil she had and begin to fill the empty vessels. And all the empty vessels were filled. That oil kept on multiplying. So I told God, I too will need miraculous provisions. Provision that will come, just come miraculously. And my desire for miraculous provisions was heightened when my father in the Lord shared his own testimony. We, some of you older ones, know how at the beginning of the church, when things were very tough, one day the wife prepared a pot of soup, and the Almighty God spoke to my father in the Lord and said, tell your wife, from now, let her just keep on dishing from the pot of soup without looking inside. Don't look inside, just keep on dishing. And so one day the woman will dish and beef will come out. Tomorrow it will dish, chicken will come out. And she kept on until one day curiosity overcame her. And she looked into the pot and the pot was dried. So when my father told me the story, I said, okay. It means the God of Elijah is still alive. He can still provide. And many of you know the story. I know some of you don't believe such things. No problem. Those who are ignorant, let them remain ignorant still. Those who are doubtful, let them remain doubtful still. But the just shall live by faith. I told you, when I was coming from the east, I went to the east to preach. I got to Asaba thinking I would buy fuel. I didn't know there was fuel scarcity since I left. There was no fuel in Asaba. I said, surely there will be fuel in Benin. I got to Benin, no fuel. I said, surely there will be fuel in Ore, because Ore is a depot. I got to Ore, no fuel. By that time, I looked at my gauge, it was reading reserve. That means it was almost empty. God, what do I do? I was still a lecturer at the University of Lagos. I went to preach at the weekend. I wanted to be in Lagos for my class on Monday. And now to Lagos. It's still a fairly long distance. Lord, what do I do? And I heard his voice. I pray for you one more time. You begin to hear from God. And God says, son, take your eyes off the gauge and drive on. Yes, Lord. And I drove all the way from Oreto Suru Lere on Risa. I just kept on driving. I didn't look at the gauge. As I parked my car in Suru Lere and I then looked at the gauge, it read empty. Of course it was empty. Of course there are other stories of miraculous provision that are not as dramatic as that one. And I will tell you one, just for your information.
Some of you had it before. We were at the camp. We've just moved to the camp. Things were tough. We had no money. When I say we had no money, I mean we had zero naira. No money at all. But we live in the bush. We have garden. And so my wife was about to prepare food. There was no meat, no money to buy. So I took my children on a walk to prepare them for dinner without meat. And I began to tell them that in the olden days, our parents used to cut okra, whole okra. They cut the head, cut the tail, and throw it into the okra soup. And it can be very delicious. We call it okra meat. So the boys were excited. They were looking forward to okra meat. But as we were going in the bush, there was this little dog we had then. Very little but very tough. Suddenly the dog dashed into the bush. And we had this cry of a small animal. By the time the dog came out, it had a squirrel in its mouth that it had killed. And then began a little battle, getting the squirrel out of the mouth of the dog. Finally, I won the battle. And so for dinner that night, we ate a squirrel. And when we finished eating, the boy said, "What about the okra meat?" I said, "Next time, next time." But thank God, next time never came. I pray for someone here tonight. Everything you need shall be miraculously provided for you. Then I read in the scriptures, Acts 4:31, that the disciples prayed and the house shook. I read in Acts 16:25-34, that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and there was an earthquake. There was an earthquake. So I began to look forward to that day when I will pray, and the house will shake. Because I don't want to just be ordinary Christian. I want something above natural. And then something happened. And I thank God I have witnesses here tonight. Pastor Stephen Rathod is here. So if you want to check the story, check with him. My father in the Lord, myself, and four others, we had gone to Kenetigny Camp Meeting, 1979. We stayed in an hotel called Mayo Hotel in Tulsa. Then one morning, my father in the Lord called all of us to his room, told us that he will be going to heaven very soon, and that I will be succeeding him. Just came in the blue like that. And of course, he was praying the spirit. Well, the news hit me hard. I crumbled down the floor. And those who were with me, we all began to pray. We all began to sob and to cry in the spirit. And suddenly there was a knock at the door. I was the one closer to the door, so I opened to the door, and it was I opened the door, and at the door stood the engineer of the hotel. And his question was, "What kind of instruments are you playing?" I said, "We are not playing any instruments, we are praying." He said, "No." He came in, he looked through the room, he looked under the bed, he looked in the wardrobe, he saw nothing. Puzzled. On his way out, he turned to me again. He said, "What do you say you are doing?" I said, "We are praying." So I asked him, I said, "Why?" He said, "Because the hotel is shaking. And we have traced the source of the shaking to this room." We prayed, and the hotel shook. Of course, they didn't believe it was our prayer that shook the hotel. So after we left, they closed down the hotel. They dug around the foundation to see if there's something wrong. They couldn't find anything wrong. But they refused to reopen the hotel for 30 years. After 30 years, I went to visit Tulsa again. My wife, my children, and some of my friends, and my beloved friend, Pastor Stephen. So we went to that hotel. And so that's the hotel where we prayed. And the hotel shook. And I felt a compassion in me that we had prayed. And this hotel had been closed for 30 years. So quietly I moved close to the hotel, touched the wall, and prayed a quiet prayer. And it was reopened a year later. I'm believing God for all of you who are here tonight that you are going to pray, and the ground is going to shake. Then I'll tell you another story. Some of you know it too. In those early days in this camp, at night, I'd be pacing up and down, crying to the Almighty God, "God, empower me. Use me mightily for your glory. I've surrendered all to you. What else do you want me to do? I don't want to be ordinary. Help me, have mercy." And then one night, in desperation, I stood in the place that is opposite one of the banks now, late in the night. I lifted my eyes to heaven and I said to God, "Either you empower me or you call me home. Because I can't do this work. I don't want to do your work as an ordinary pastor. I don't want to. So if you're not going to give me the power to do this work, let me come home and rest." That night he answered, and suddenly the ground shook. And those of you who are old enough, you will remember that they felt an earthquake all the way in Djibouti. Pictures hung on the wall were falling down. They didn't know where it started from. They didn't know somebody was praying on the camp, and the ground shook. When I woke up the following morning and I went to go and see the place, I could see the crack on the ground all the way. Now,
Why am I telling you all this? Because if God could do it for me, he can do it for you. And you may want to ask the question, have I arrived? No. I'm nowhere near where I want to be. I know my prayer, I know my cry to God, I know my hunger. I know I've told the Almighty God, I want your power so mightily, that whenever I go to a new nation, even as my plane is touching ground, let everyone within kilometers be healed. Before I say a word, I've seen things happen. I appreciate it. I thank you, Lord. You've done marvelous things. I can tell you stories upon stories upon stories. But I've not arrived. I still need more of him. But I know, without any doubt, that there might be one or two people here, particularly among the young ones, who will be willing to do anything if only God will empower them. Am I right? I believe this could be your night. And this thing is not by human power. It's not by human might. It's by the Holy Spirit. You see, that's why, if you have been joking with the issue of salvation, you are robbing yourself. You see, because on the day of Pentecost, after Peter preached, and the people asked him, okay, what shall we do? He gave them an answer in Acts chapter 2, verse 37 to 39. Acts 2, verse 37 to 39. He said, repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said, if you will repent from your sins, if you make up your mind, no, I don't want to deal with sin anymore, because the Holy Spirit is holy. It doesn't deal with sinners. He said, if you repent and you are baptized, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. People ask me, why are you always crying, be holy? I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm hungry for. I know what I want. If the dead bones of somebody could raise the dead, why should my living bones, my living hands, not raise the dead? Why can't I just wave my hands and the blind see, deaf hear, lame walk? Why not? So tonight we are going to pray. And I'm going to beg all those who have announcements to postpone their announcements. Because when we begin to pray tonight, nobody is going to disturb anybody. Let everybody pray till they are satisfied. You can make your announcement tomorrow morning. But before the rest of us go to God, and I'm going to tell you one prayer I prayed in my desperation. That's one of my secrets that I want to release to you tonight, but we'll do that one later. If you are here and you have not yet repented of your sins, if you are here and you are not born again, please don't waste our time tonight. Come quickly. Come and surrender your life to Jesus. Let's pray that his blood will wipe away your sins And then when the rest of us are crying for the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to cry for the Holy Spirit too. And I'm sure it will attend to you too. So if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, I'm going to count from 1 to 15, because I can see that some of you are almost at the end of the auditorium now. But you have to move fast, because I will count fast. If you have never surrendered your life to Jesus, you're still living a life of sin, and you want to surrender your life to Him so He can forgive you, so that you'll be clean and be ready for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, begin to come now. One. Two. Three. Thank you, those of you who are clapping for them. Your hands will never be empty. The hands that were clapping for Jesus will become anointed hands. Four. Five. Six. Seven. Eight. Nine. Ten. Eleven. Twelve. Thirteen. Fourteen.
Now those of you who are in front, begin to cry to the Almighty God, please wash me clean in your blood, save my soul, have mercy on me. I want to be one of your children. I want to be born of the Spirit. Lord, save my soul. And those of you on the way, just keep coming and keep praying as you come. And the rest of us, please, let's stretch our hands towards these people and pray for them. Let's intercede for their salvation. Intercede that the Almighty God will save the souls of every one of these people as they come to him tonight. And those of you in front, begin to talk to the Lord. Have mercy on me, Lord. Save my soul. Cleanse me from all my sins with your powerful blood. Keep coming, and keep crying to him as you come. Keep crying to him, asking him to save your soul, asking him to be merciful unto you, asking him to wash you clean. Promise him that from now, you will live the rest of your life for him. To want to be one of his children, born of the Spirit. He that is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Cry to the Almighty God. I want to be one of your children. Wash me clean, Lord. Wash me clean. Wash me clean, your blood. Keep coming. Keep coming. I will pray for you in a moment for salvation, but you have to hurry up now because the rest of us want to pray. Keep coming. So Lord, have mercy on me. Save my soul. Cleanse me in your blood. Cleanse me in your blood. And I will serve you for the rest of my life. I will serve you for the rest of my life. Just forgive me, O Lord. Cleanse me in your blood. Cleanse me in your blood. Keep coming, keep coming. Hurry up, I'm about to pray now. Thank you, Jesus. Just make sure you get here before I finish praying. So you have to hurry up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Keep coming. Make sure you get here before I finish praying. I have to pray now. But you keep coming. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Yeah. Savior, King of glory, I thank you for your word tonight. And I thank you for these your children who have responded to this altar call. Every one of them, Father, save their souls. Please forgive their sins. Let your blood wash them clean. Write their names in the book of life. Let them become your children as from tonight. Please, my Father and my God, from now on, anytime they call on you, answer them by fire. And let them serve you till the very end. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Now, those of you in front, let me hear you shout hallelujah. Now, I need your names, your address, or your prayer requests, because from now on, I'll be praying for you. The counselors will give you some cards to fill. They will compile the information I need, and I promise you, I'll be praying. But to stay where you are, because the rest of us want to pray, and then after you have submitted the information to the counselors, if you want to leave, you'll be free to leave. The rest of us, are we really ready to pray? I didn't hear you. Then stand on your feet and shout a big hallelujah. One of the prayers I prayed in my hunger for God, my hunger to live above the natural, it's a prayer that I want you to pray tonight. Like I said, nobody is going to stop you. And if you want to sit down to pray till you are satisfied, fine. If you want to kneel down till you are satisfied, that's fine. Just pray in any posture that is convenient for you. I want you to lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father. I don't think you are serious. I don't want to be an ordinary Christian. I want to be able to do mighty things for you. Holy Spirit, swallow me completely. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Just swallow me up. Every part of me, let it be hidden in you. Swallow me up. Holy Spirit, I just don't want to be an ordinary Christian. I want to be able to do mighty things for you. And I'm still crying unto you tonight, my Father and my God. Holy Spirit, swallow me completely. Let me be completely lost in you. Let every bit of me, my Lord and my Savior, be swallowed up in you. From head to toe. My entire being, outside, inside, just swallow me up, Lord. Fill me to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Let me live constantly inside of you. Swallow me up, Lord.